Well, not a whole lot other than working. I got to go in at midnight tonight, which is 9 o'clock Pacific time, and work all night. We had a failover from one data center to another about 4 weeks ago. We were going to do it 2 weeks ago, and then we were going to do it last weekend, and now we're going to do it this weekend. I'm hoping it happens. I was hoping to take a nap early today so that it would be easier to stay up all night, but I'm going to be dependent on coffee for that. I did want to get that started because I had a lot of other things I was doing before I was able to start on upgrading the NEC control software, and I did want to get it started, so I managed to knock that out today anyway that much. And maybe we can incorporate Echo Link and the NET report and all of that into that one dialogue and just label them as pre-NET or Echo Link. I don't know. We'll play around with it. We'll see what we can get. I think the echolink.org site has an API you can call. It'll tell you who's on what node. So we'll try that. May not be able to get text messages, though. I don't know. We'll play around with it, though. Do appreciate your feedback. But that's been my day, is playing around with that and trying to consolidate all the way down to a single screen instead of having three or four screens open. Eventually, we'll get there. That's about it on this side. Has been hot out, and the air conditioner can only keep up so much. And it starts getting warm in the house at about 3 or 4 o'clock, but it doesn't stay long. And then it cools off again in just a couple of hours. But if it gets much hotter, the air conditioner is not going to be able to keep up.
KN4RJN, yeah, I had the guys come out and do their quarterly service on the two heat pumps and make sure those things are working good. And I don't know what the guy did, but when those things kick in and you're outside, it makes a whole lot more noise than it used to. So I may have to, I may just have him come back and say, okay, what did you knock loose here? But at least it's still working and it's pumping cool air, so I guess I can't complain too much.
Well, the downstairs stays constant temperature all the time. It doesn't have much work to do. You know, cold air falls down and hot air goes up. So I'm thinking the downstairs hot air is coming up to the upstairs, and the upstairs having to work double time. I did go up in the attic a couple of days ago looking for something up there, and boy, was it hot up there. I couldn't stay up there 5 minutes, and I had to come back down. I think my parents put heat ventilators in their roof, but then they told me later they had problems with it. They wouldn't do it again. But boy, was it hot up there. It's like 140 degrees.
That's one of the joys of being down here in the basement, because it's always cool down here, whether the air conditioner's running or not. There's a good 10-degree difference. Feel it as you walk down the steps. But, so it stays cool. In fact, it's just almost cold down here. She keeps it cool. The thermostat is upstairs, and she keeps it cool for her, which means it's close to freezing down here. But, I've been up in attics before, and we've lived in easily. Had to go up in the attic every once in a while to get, you know, the Christmas tree or holiday decorations or whatever, and it was like, gee, many Christmas, it could be freezing outside, and that attic was still hot.
Well, that's where all the hot air goes. We know that for sure. Maybe I'll put a fan on one end to suck the air through. All it needed a little bit of air movement, and it probably bring it down 20 degrees just by moving the air around. But don't want to suck moisture in. So six of one, half a dozen of the other. Well, what else you got for us this evening, John? Anything else going on?
No, I thought I'd hang around and get second shift in, but second shift got in before I did anyway. So, but I did want to look at that email and take a look at that and give you some feedback on that. And if we can get it all scrunched into one screen, that would be good. But like I said, I've got a system working now that works pretty good. So I'll have, if you add that early check-in thing, I'm going to have to scrunch it down some more unless we can get Echo Link on there also. And then that would be, you know, perfect. And then little blinking lights to tell you somebody new popped up. I don't know, something to light your cigar with, and maybe a robot arm to go out and get a beer out of the fridge.
Well, don't hold your breath on that one, but you do have a Raspberry Pi sitting there, and that's what they're made for.
figure out some, put some robot legs on that thing so you can walk out and go get another beer. But anyway, I'll clear on out of here, and 73's to you. Good talking with you. We'll talk at you later. KN4.
Okay, John. Well, stay cool. Good to have you with us on the Rag Chew portion of the net this evening, and appreciate all you do for calling the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Any other stations all the way through the alphabet that'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
DJW and K4LWE. That's Kilo 4 Lima Whiskey Echo. My name's Larry. Live in Piedmont. I have no traffic and no round table. I'm a little late. I read with my granddaughter several days a week. She lives in Denver, so it happens to overlap the net time. Thanks.
Okay, net control, I'd like to recognize K4LWE. That is Larry in Piedmont. Larry, you're sounding good. Do appreciate you taking the time to check in, and hope you are enjoying that reading time. With that much separation, that works. The technology works really good for us these days. You can do that and still feel close even though you're long, long way apart. Appreciate you being with us this evening. Stay safe. Any other stations all the way through the alphabet that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
Please check in November Hotel 7 Papa. All down in Western Orange County.
Have you? Got a terrible copy on the repeater tonight. I hope I'm not doubling. Please check in Whiskey 4, India Oscar Echo. See it in Fletcher, North Carolina. Good evening to you and Amy. Good evening to all on the net. No traffic, no comment.
Okay, and I can totally recognize NH7P. That is Paul down in Lawrence. Paul, you're sounding good. All the way from Lawrence. It's always good to hear you when you check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. We do appreciate you taking the time to do that this evening. And W4IOE, that is Sid. He's over in Fletcher, North Carolina. Sid, you're sounding good, too. You're no problem getting into it. Might be a problem for it getting back to you, but you're not having any problem getting into it, and you weren't doubling. Appreciate you being here. Tell Miss Beverly we said hello. And everybody, be sure and check in tomorrow night at 8 p.m. on 146.64 with a PL tone of 91.5. Sid will be calling the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Club net on 146.64 with a PL tone of 91.5. Be sure and check in with him tomorrow night at 8. I'm sure he'll appreciate it and you'll enjoy it. They have a really good net. And sometimes after their net, they do some slow scan TV. So you could learn a thing or two. So be sure and stop in with Sid tomorrow night. He uses their club call. W4YK is their club call. So you won't hear W4IOE. From the net control tomorrow night, which will be said, you'll hear W4YK, which is perfectly legal. That's what the club call is there for, so they use it. Good to have you with us tonight, Sid, and again, tell Miss Beverly we said hello and appreciate you taking the time to check in with us this evening. Any other stations all the way through the alphabet that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW. Okay, the next one on the stump this evening is K4RHF. That is Bob. He's on the line between Greenville and Taylor's. Bob, call W4DJW and the Blue Ridge 2-meter net.
Hello, W4DJW and the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. This is K4RHF. Didn't have a whole lot tonight. I thoroughly enjoyed hearing the little bit about going up in the attic a minute ago. I was going to suggest something a few years back. Somebody suggested a way to send a spaceship to the sun. And, of course, the trick is to travel by night. And I'll bet it's a whole lot easier if you do that, going up into your attic, do it at midnight instead of in the middle of the day. And I expect it'll be a little cooler up there for you. Anyway, I don't have a whole lot going on here. I have my radio station completely discombobulated. And when I say Bob, that's the little B. Oh, Big B, Bob. I have my rig set up on an old Wang Laboratories System 5 computer desk. About 40 years ago, this thing had a word processor computer built into it. And now I put a 30-amp power supply where the processor used to be and stack all my radios on top and then put a couple concrete blocks on a shelf and stack some more radios on top of that. And I finally yanked the whole mess out, which I haven't done in 10 or 15 years, and vacuumed the rug underneath it. We've been cleaning this room for 2 days, and I have got everything discombobulated. I have one radio operating right now, and that's this little Yaesu hooked to a car battery. And everything else is all over the place. But I'm slowly getting it all back together, and I'm going to put up a pole in the backyard and get back on ATCO in the fairly recent future, or the very near future, if I can. And I had an ATCO antenna several years back that got knocked down. It's a kind of a weird story there, but I hadn't been on ATCO doing much of anything in quite a while. But I'm going to try to get back on there because I hear the bands are starting to open back up a little bit. And that's about all I got going on, but I'm just dog tired from cleaning this room. I've got half the room cleaned now, vacuumed and wet vacked, and it was a mess. The cats live in here too, and I'm in the process of fixing this thing where they can no longer get up under it and behind it and so forth. Basically just exclude them from being able to mess around in my stuff. And so hopefully I'll be back on the air and back to normal in a few more days here. And so it sounds like everybody else is doing all right. I thoroughly enjoyed hearing Fletch's story about the old days and CW and all that. And that's about all I got. I'll tell you guys the bear story. Ooh, my radio's beeping at me. I'll tell you guys the bear story next week. I got a good one for you. But that's about all I got. Y'all have a good.
Okay, Bob. Well, we all have to tear our shacks apart every now and then. Last time I had to do that, the carpet in the house was about 20 years old. It was time to change it. And I had to take everything out of the office where my ham radio gear is. And boy, was that a chore. But it was worth it. And then every time they go back together, you take all the experience you had between the last time you did it and that time, and you put things together a little bit better every time. So hopefully when you get yours back together, it'll be a little more suited to the way you like it, and all the connections will be nice and solid. There won't be any oxidation on any of them. None of them will be loose. None of the connections will be loose, because I don't know. I think a ghost comes through the house every now and then and just loosens stuff up. It happens. But anyway, Bob, appreciate you being with us this evening. You stay safe. Take care. Any other stations all the way through the alphabet that might check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW. Okay, it looks like that's about going to do it. Let's see. Tomorrow night is Sunday, so that's going to be W2MJB. Mark will be calling that tomorrow night. Be sure and stop in and check in with Mark. He always has a really good net. I'm sure you'll enjoy it, and I'm sure he would appreciate it. And I'll go ahead and send in my net report next. Okay, this is W4DJW now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with our thanks for checking in. We'll now return the repeater back to normal amateur use. 73s and good night.
Just out of curiosity, Dave, do you remember their call signs from back then? Okay,
the only call signs that I remember from back then, Andy, was my dad, and everybody in the neighborhood knew his call sign because it was on his car, right? Any of the kids, all the kids used to come over and he'd talk to them. They'd sit around in the den and he'd have conversations with them. They enjoyed that. And they'd play up and down our street and everybody else's street. And you could always see my dad's call sign there. So they knew that was a common thing. But the names, more than the call signs, were spoken frequently at the house. So when somebody does what Fletch did, or before Fletch, what Joel did, and brings up somebody's name from back then, it just brings back a lot because those were common names that they were like some people my dad worked. He worked with. Sometimes you'd hear those names from time to time, and the people that he did radio with, you'd hear those names from time to time. So those were common names, but the only call sign back then that I knew was W4DGP, and everybody knew that one. Everybody that I knew that call sign.
I knew your dad, too, but Earl Brennan's was W4HCZ, W4HCZ, and, of course, Molly's was K4TOY, and this goes way back. Wade Holland, I think, died sometime in the early 80s, but He was W4 Alpha Zulu Tango. I was listening a whole lot more back then than during the time years when I was working, but I have a lot of those still ingrained in my head.
Well, there's a couple of them that I would like to know. There was a couple of ham radio operators that we used to go over to their house, and they used to come over to our. You know, that back in those days, people used to visit a lot more than they do now. But we used to go visit Jim and Jan Witted, and I think both of them were ham radio operators. Jim Witted, I don't know if you remember his call sign or not. And then another one was Dan Murphy. Dan Murphy was a television repair guy, and he worked at some various shops, and he was a really good friend of my dad's. They did Bible study and stuff like that a lot, whereas Jim was a hobbyist, Jim Witted. Do those two names ring a bell at all, Andy?
We're real active on this repeater. That'll be one of the first things that'll give me an idea if there's a chance I might. Were they real active here in 16?
I think they were, but I didn't know enough about what my dad was doing with ham radio back then. I was around it all the time, but I was preoccupied with other things. I'd hear him, you know, when they were sending Morse code, and I'd hear him talking to people when I'd walk by that room that he had his radio equipment in, but never really got into it. But I know that Jim had a tower next to his house. And every year at Christmas, we'd go over there. He'd have a star up on the tower, and it would be all lit up. He'd light it up, and he'd haul that thing up to the top of the tower. So you'd see, come to there, when you turn in their neighborhood, you could see the star glowing in the sky. But I don't know if he did just HF or if he did HF and VHF or UHF, or I'm not sure what bands they got on all the time.
Well, I've got all kinds of call signs. I'm mainly knew by the call signs, but when I heard Fletch talking about Earl Brennan, I remember W4HCZ Earl, W4EJH Bert out at Easley, and there's one or two other stations that used to get on late Saturday night here on this repeater here, and they'd chew the fat for half the night.
Yeah, I think ham radio operators used to do that a lot more than present-day ham radio operators do, on 2 meters anyway. They used to do it a lot. But I remember my dad did it on HF and 2 meters. He did it. He was in radio when he was in the Army, so he liked radio as much as I like airplanes. Right, so he just did it all the time, every chance he got.
Run out on Saturday night, some of those right there did. I'd sit with the receiver on and listen to them half the night in there jawing about it. And there's quite a few that I wonder, of course, by now I know they're all silent keys, but like K4JNT, Dave Sly, that's another one that from way back used to be talked about a lot on here. I know they're all dead now, but I just wonder whatever happened to him.
Yeah, that's the same here with that's same with me. I haven't seen Jim or Dan, Jim Witted or Dan Murphy, in many, many years. I wonder the same thing. I wonder if one day they might pop up on this repeater. You never can tell. Chances are low, but you know, you never know. Anyway, a lot of good memories, Andy. We appreciate your memory because you can pull memories out of the woodwork.
Silent keys, I remember their call signs better than my own sometimes, just because it was so ingrained from past. There was another father and son. I don't remember the son's call sign now, but his father was Bill WB4MXW.
I'm not remembering him, but I do remember when I first got into amateur radio in 2004. I do remember Gene, I talked to him every day for many years, going back and forth to Charlotte. Every morning, I'd get in my car and I'd head out to Charlotte. I'd get up at 4:45, and I'd be on the road before 5. And he would talk me all the way past the state line and up to right before you get into Gastonia. That's where I would lose the repeaters. Right now I lose it a little after the state line, but back then the repeater would reach almost into Gastonia. But when I'd key up, he'd tell me where I was on my trip. Do you remember, Gene, or what his call sign was? I think it was a WB4 call.
WB4ZBZ, wasn't it?
That is it. That's amazing, Andy. That is amazing. WB4ZBZ, yeah. That's amazing how you do that, Andy.
In your way, but this was back in the 70s, late 70s, early 80s, some of that round. A K4UEM Kurt, who resided in Greer, and he was a minister over there somewhere.
Well, there's another one you might know, too. Ken Wilson. He was, I don't know his call, but his son, Brian, and I went to high school together. We were in the same grade at the same time. And his dad and my dad knew each other. I don't think they were really friends or anything. Brian and I were good friends, Brian Wilson, and his dad, Ken Wilson, who was, I think he was pretty active in ham radio. Is that a name? But again, I don't know any of their call signs. Does that name ring a bell?
As I said, I remember some, but mostly it's their call signs that sticks in my mind. Just like, and I've heard Ray talk about him, but I don't know what happened to him. I know he's deceased, though. W4ILP Smithy, he used to be on here a lot on the net back in the early 80s and late 70s, too.
Well, do you remember Whiskey America 4, Japan, Zanzibar?
Oh, the other Andy down in the flatlands of
Aiken. W4DJW, that is him. He had a pair of stacked B-13B2s, Andy. I couldn't remember his name, but I can remember his call. Like you, it's the calls are sometimes easier to remember than the names. Whiskey America 4, Japan, Zanzibar, down in the flatlands of Aiken. Absolutely. That's pretty cool, Andy.
Probably don't have, I don't know how old he was, but I got my doubts that he has his beans up, and without them, he ain't going to get in up here.
That's what happened. I tried to track him down, but I got as close as to somebody in that town. I think I went through Echolink, all the Echolink-capable repeaters in that area, and I finally got a hold of somebody, and I asked them about him. They knew him. They said, yeah, he had a storm blow down his antennas and hasn't put them back up again, so he can't get in up here anymore. But he checked in just about every night, and it was always good to hear him.
NH7P that checked in here just a little bit earlier. I used to hear him on 58 Simplex way up here. Back when, right about the time 15 years ago when he got his light.
Yeah, he used to do that when Steve was up here. I went down to his house one time on the way back from the Anderson Hamfest, the Greenwood Hamfest. On the way back from the Greenwood Hamfest, Steve said, follow me. So I did. We wound up over at Paul's house. He's got a really nice house. And he had a tower right outside of it that was 200 feet tall, Andy. That's why he could get Simplex up here. That was a 200-foot tall tower. I don't know if he's got it anymore. But he could get I could hear him, and Steve was not that far from me, so I could hear both of them, but I could barely make it back to him. Steve had climbed a tree and put his 17-foot collinear up in a tree, so Steve and Paul could talk on Simplex like you and I are talking through the repeater right now. But I could barely get back to him because my antenna wasn't nearly that high. But, yeah, Paul had a really cool setup. I don't know if he still has that tower or not.
How's he up for Friday? If he does, I kind of doubt that he does, because I don't hear him on 5.8 up here like that anymore. But back then, 15 years ago, I heard him very frequently on 5.8.
Well, when I was standing under it and I looked straight up, I had a hard time standing. I felt like I was falling because you could see those clouds moving behind the tower, and it was so high up there. I had to hold on to something when you look all the way up. That's how tall that tower was. Anyway, Andy, I need to get downstairs and refill my glass of water. It is empty. But I've enjoyed the reminiscing about the old days.
I remember. I don't say I remember everybody, but I generally can remember the call sign for sure. And if they were frequent, this were Peter back at that time, the chances of me remembering me is kind of great. Some of them I remember better than I do my own call sign. Because I heard them on here so much back then. KI4LZ4.
Okay, Andy. Well, I appreciate it. I enjoyed it. You take care. Always good to hear you on the radio. KI4LZI, W4DJW, clear.
X7P N4DIZ.